May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Well, today we celebrate the naming of Jesus. It would be hard, I think, to miss that theme of naming in our readings and in our prayers today. And I could have so much fun talking about names, their meanings, the family traditions, and of course, the significance of the name of Jesus himself, which means salvation. And as an aside, I have to say I love the fact that Luke, the gospel writer, points out that Jesus was the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Mary and Joseph did not name their child. God did. That in itself is worth a whole sermon. But instead of that, I'm going to focus on our first reading from the book of Numbers. Why am I doing that? Well, because it is a blessing. Many of you have heard it before, probably at the end of worship services. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Heard it before? I wonder if some of you have heard that many times but didn't realize it came from the Bible. But there it is from Numbers chapter 6. And although we are celebrating the name of Jesus today, December 30th, technically the liturgically correct day to celebrate it is January 1st. So what that means is that our lectionary gives us a blessing for the new year. Isn't that lovely? Or we can think of it as a benediction for the end of 2012 too. Either way, it's a comfort and meant to be. And so I decided to focus this morning on the blessing from the book of Numbers. Well, let's unpack this blessing a bit, because if we understand what's being said here, or even some of what's being said here, it will bless us even more. So first, we're going to look at its context, that is, who the blessing was originally for, and what was happening at the time. Second, we're going to briefly look at each of the six actions in this blessing. Bless, keep, make his face to shine, be gracious, lifting up of countenance, and the giving of peace. Don't worry, that won't take as long as it sounds. And third, we're going to look at what God may have meant when he said that this blessing would put his very name on the Israelites, and how this blessing can be given and received today. So first of all, what's happening in the book of Numbers? What's happening when God first delivers this blessing via Aaron and the priests to his people? Well, this blessing comes when the people of Israel are still wandering in the wilderness, freed from Egypt, but not yet in the promised land. They are camped at Mount Sinai. They've been there for about a year and are just now preparing to leave. And God gives this blessing as part of the preparations to leave, to keep going. And so in that sense, this is a blessing for a journey. And God told the priests to bless the people every day with these words as they continued to the promised land. So there, we took care of the context pretty quickly. Next, let's look at the blessing itself. It has six parts. Now note, first of all, that God is the one doing the acting in all six parts of this blessing. The Lord, one, bless you, two, keep you, three, the Lord make his face to shine upon you, and four, be gracious to you, five, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, and finally, six, the Lord give you peace. Well, that all sounds very nice, but what does it mean? Let's start with bless. Bless is at the beginning because, and this sounds really obvious, this is a blessing. And so the word bless here sets the stage for all that follows. So I guess our actual question is, what is a blessing? What is a blessing? And oh, the church has been wrestling and struggling with that question very recently, haven't we? Most recently, the church has been struggling with the question of what it means to pronounce God's blessing on a marriage. One story I heard was about a woman who attended a St. Francis Day service, also known as the Blessing of the Animal service. And this woman had a son who was gay. And after the sermon, she marched up to the priest and she said, "Why is it that you can bless a dog and a rabbit, but you will not bless my son's relationship?" Well, I believe her question is problematic in some ways, but she certainly gets to the heart of the matter. What is a blessing? When God tells the priest to bless the people, what does that mean? Is it just a nice thought? Well, here's a good working definition of what a blessing is. And this isn't mine. It comes from workingpreacher.org, which is a well-researched and reputable theological site. And they say a blessing is any divine gift that directly or indirectly increases the life, health, and well-being of individuals and communities. I'm going to say that again, okay? A blessing is any divine gift that directly or indirectly increases the life, health, and well-being of individuals and communities. And so when God blesses something or someone, God is doing something that leads to life and increases goodness. And in the book of Numbers, God tells the priest to pronounce God's blessing daily. Now, the other five actions in the blessing tell us how it is God will bring about life for his people and what the nature of his divine gifts in this blessing will be. So that's bless. Start at it anyway. Second, and these will go faster, the blessing says God will keep the people. Keep here means to protect. It's the same word used in many of the Psalms, which praise God for being a place and a source of safety. Psalm 121 is well known. God will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. It's used many times in that one psalm. But protection here does not just mean protection from harm or physical danger. In fact, it doesn't even mean that primarily. The biggest concern in this blessing is that God's people will be protected from evil and from the effects of evil. And you can see how for people wandering and exposed in the wilderness, God's keeping of them, in both senses of the word, would be a major concern. The third action is this: the Lord make his face to shine upon you. Now, the pairing of face and shine is important here, because seeing God's face without the shining part would not be a good thing. God once told Moses that if anyone saw his face, that person would die. But a shining face means that God is graciously disposed to the one he is looking at. Or as another preacher put it so well, the shining face of God means that we get to see God glowing, not glaring. Fourth, the Lord in this blessing is gracious. The Lord be gracious to you. This simply goes hand in hand with God's shining face, that if God's face is turned towards us and is shining, it means he is already being gracious to us. Fifth, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. At first, this sounds like a repeat of make his face to shine upon you. After all, countenance and face are very similar words and ideas, aren't they? But the phrase lift up sets this apart. God is not simply showing us his face, but actually moving towards us, lifting up his countenance upon us, turning towards us and meeting us. This is an intentional move on God's part. So we don't just beg to be allowed to come to where God is, but God actually, in lifting up his countenance to us, makes a move to where we are. And finally, the blessing concludes with the wonderful phrase, "and give you peace." And the word for peace here is shalom. It is the high point of the blessing. And so not surprisingly, this understanding of what peace is matters. This is not just a prayer for God to give us a calm, quiet feeling inside. No, there are many meanings included in shalom, including prosperity, long life, happiness within the family, safety, security, good health, friendship, and profound well-being. Not bad, right? Well, so far we've looked at the context of what was happening when this blessing was first given and unpacked the six parts of it. The third thing I said we'd do is to think about the meaning of our last line of our reading, in which God says this, "So shall they put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." I'm going to work that sentence backwards. God says, "I will bless them." And this reminds us that although the blessing is delivered by Aaron and the priests, it is not the priest's blessing, but God's. And note, too, that God says, "I will bless them." You know, sometimes ministers, myself included, feel a little shocked and shy about the blessing that we're asked to pronounce. You think, really? And so we try to soften it by starting with the word may. Have you heard me do this? Or others do this? As in, now may the peace of God, or may the Lord bless you. And I think I have to stop doing that, because God says here, "I will bless them." No need to be hesitant about it. And now to the beginning of that sentence. What does it mean that through this blessing, God will put his name on the Israelites? Well, here we come to the overall theme of our day, naming. In the context of the Old Testament reading, I believe this means that the people now wear God's name, that when the nations look at Israel, or even as they look at themselves and see how God has blessed them in the promised land they are going to, that they will give the credit and the glory to God. Well, finally, how can we give and receive this blessing today? Was it only for the people of Israel, only for the journey through the wilderness to the promised land? No, I believe we can still properly use it today. Because when we think of the naming of Jesus in the light of this blessing, we see how in Christ, God has done all six of these things and in spades. In Christ, God has blessed us, kept us. In Christ, God has made his face to shine and even allowed us to see his face in the Word made flesh. In Christ, God has been gracious to us in the forgiveness brought about by the death and resurrection of Christ. God has lifted up his countenance upon us. Remember, that means making a move towards us. And how is that better done than at Christmas, when God became a human being in Bethlehem? And God has given us peace in the Prince of Peace, the Christ child. The name of Jesus means salvation, and Jesus is our salvation. Was, is, and will be. And therefore, I believe this blessing can still be given. As for receiving it, well, that's up to each of us. Did you notice that the word "you" is in this blessing six times? That's one time for every action of God. And the Hebrew for "you" here is singular. That surprised me. It surprised me because it's a blessing for the community. And yet, what it says is, "The Lord bless you, and you, and you, and you, and you." It's singular. And so it is to be received individually. And remember, this blessing was to be given every day. That speaks to sustenance. That speaks to the idea of daily bread. We need to hear and to receive this blessing of God every day. And what a blessing it is for our journey. What a blessing for a new year. Thanks be to God. Amen.